Thank you so much, Lindsay. Good morning. My name is Lake Slabach, and I am the family ministry pastor here at HPBC. It is my joy and honor to be with you this morning. My wife, Ellie, and I moved up from North Carolina in October, so we're kind of getting our feet wet and finding out what winter is really like. All of our North Carolina people are experiencing some winter weather this morning, and so now I get to be the person that says that's not really snow. But we have really enjoyed our time at HPBC and are just so thankful for the welcome we've received and are really excited and looking forward to many more weeks, months, and years ahead with you guys. So let me pray before we get into the word this morning. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the opportunity this morning to spend time together unpacking it. We pray, God, that as we move forward, you would help us each grow individually and collectively as a congregation. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. We're all in this together. What does that make you think of? If you, like me, grew up in the golden age of Disney Channel original movies, you might be thinking about High School Musical right now. That's not what we're going to talk about. Aaron offered to roll me a ball, but I said I didn't think that would be appropriate. We are going to be in Philippians 3, and Paul's going to be talking about that we're all in this together. We've all been in situations where we've realized, you know, the people that we're with, what is going down, you kind of look around and you say, well, we're all in this together now. These can be good things, and they can also be bad things. Who here has ever spent time waiting for something? Maybe you're waiting to meet somebody, you're waiting to be seen by somebody, you're getting your oil changed, you're waiting to pick up takeout food and it's just taking way too long, and you start to kind of get a feel for the room, right? You kind of see a guy over there and you're like, he's a loose cannon, he's about to say something that he's going to regret later. You see somebody over here negotiating to get something for free because they've been waiting for so long, and you're like, yeah, maybe I should do that, but you start to get a feel for what's going on, and you kind of have this sense that all the people in this room, I don't really know them, but we're in this thing together. Or maybe you're a parent, and you had a moment, whether it was in the hospital or when you first brought that baby home, where maybe they weren't sleeping in the middle of the night, they weren't eating the way they were supposed to, or maybe you were just curled up on the couch with a fire going, and you kind of look at your spouse, you look at that baby, and you say, we're in this thing together. I know that we have all seen this on a large scale whenever there's any type of disaster, whether it's hurricane, flood, tsunami, tornado, whatever it is, people from around the country, around the world, they band together because there's this sense that we're all in this thing together. And so this morning, as Paul starts to talk about what it means to grow, what it means to progress in the Christian life, what it means to run a race towards maturity in Christ, he's going to look at us, the church, and say, we're all in this together. If you're familiar with construction, maybe you're an architect or an engineer, maybe you're just handy around the house, you're going to be familiar with a phrase called something called a plumb line. If you're like me and you're none of those things, you might have to look it up, but a plumb line is usually a piece of string with a weight attached to the bottom of it, and it's used to hold up against a wall or something that you're building to make sure that that thing is square. It'll show you if it's leaning to one side or the other, and it makes sure that what you're building isn't going to ultimately come crashing down on you. And so as we get started this morning, Paul is going to lay a plumb line for us in verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this, talking about maturity in Christ, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because, if you write in your Bible, you can circle that word because. That's going to be important. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's our plumb line for this morning. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Everything that we're about to talk about, everything that Paul is about to unpack for us, when it comes to growth in the Christian life, we're able to do this because Christ has made us his own. When we start to talk about growing as believers, running a race towards maturity, it's easy to get off on one of two sides. On the one side, there's a temptation to get off into legalism, to say, I need to run this race well, and so I'm going to start building things out. I'm going to start working. I'm going to start doing everything I can. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves trying to use works to build up into salvation. On the other side of the road, there's license. We find ourselves saying, well, Christ has made me his own. So now I'm free to prop my feet up, to just take a chill pill and hang out. And what Paul is telling us right off the bat this morning is that we're going to have a plumb line that's going to keep us center, that's going to keep us square. It's going to make sure that our building isn't going to collapse on us. And he's saying, we don't need to start with works and build up into salvation. We need to do more than just our salvation. We need to start with our salvation. We need to find rest in Christ and in his finished work. And because of that, we can strive to make maturity in him our own. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Still talking about maturity. But one thing I do. That's a strange phrase from Paul, right? Paul doing one thing. That's not something we see much in Scripture. Paul did a lot of things. Paul persecuted Christians and then underwent a name change. Paul discipled believers. Paul planted churches. He traveled. He was persecuted. When he was in prison for his faith, he made believers out of the guards and their families. He was shipwrecked. He was snake bitten. Paul did a lot. And so when we see this one thing I do, it kind of strikes us because you're like, Paul did so much. But what he's saying here is that everything he's about to unpack, this goal that he's straining towards, the prize that he wants to attain, this is the through line in the life of Paul, that in all of those things, he's pressing on towards this goal because Christ has made him his own. Verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As we walk through these verses this morning, there's going to be three big truths that Paul is going to lay out for us. That a race run well in Christ towards maturity in him requires us to internalize these truths and run with them in our minds. This is the first truth that Paul's unpacking here in verses 13 and 14. I am running a race. I am running a race. Paul says that each of us as believers have a race that we're called to run, a race towards maturity. The language that he's using would have reminded the Philippians of this race. He's using words like press on, straining towards. He's got a goal. He's got a prize in mind. And so this morning, he's looking at us, and he's saying, we each have a race to run. Now, he starts with some really, really practical instruction for us in running a race. I ran track and cross country in high school. And we had a really, really great coach. He really was more than a coach. He was a mentor to us. He spent time with us that he did not have to spend. He invited us into his home and just really spent a lot of time investing in us as young men. But there was one thing that we could do that would quickly get on his bad side. When we were running, the cardinal sin of a runner was always to look back. Whether we were trying to see if an opponent was gaining on us, or we were seeing how much of a lead we had built up, that was not usually the case for me, but we wanted to see if we had room to coast, we were not supposed to look back. And Paul starts there this morning. He says, as we're running a race towards maturity, towards growth in the Christian life, we have to forget what lies behind. And I think a really practical question for us this morning is what lies behind? What lay behind Paul? What lays behind each of us? I think that what lay behind Paul and what lies behind us today is very similar. In the race towards maturity in Christ, behind us, there are a mixture of successes and failures. A mixture of times we have been obedient to God and to his word, and times where we have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. A mixture of times where we think we have nailed it, and maybe we have, and times where we really think we've missed the mark. And so as Paul is pressing on and as he's encouraging us to do the same, he's telling us that he has to forget what lies behind. I think there's two big things that can happen when we look back, when we look behind. First, when we look behind and we look back on our failures, we're tempted to stop running. We're tempted to stop running because we think that God can't. We look back on our failures and we think that God can't possibly use us. God can't fix what was broken in our past. God can't have a higher calling, an upward calling, that he's calling us to. We think that we have sinned and fallen short one too many times, and that God can't possibly have a plan and a purpose for us. If you're here this morning, and that's you, and you have stopped running because you're looking back and you're saying, I have failed one too many times, let me assure you, there is no failure in your past that prohibits you from running a race towards maturity in Christ. And so Paul would say, forget what lies behind and look forward, press on. Second, if we look back on our failures, we're tempted to stop running because we think God can't. When we look back on our successes, we're tempted to stop running because we think that we have. We think that we have made it. We think that we have knocked it out of the park. We've built up a big enough lead on the opponent that we can afford to coast it in. We can afford to prop our feet up and hang out until Christ returns. And if that is something that you're struggling with this morning, if you've stopped running because you think you've made it, Paul would encourage you, turn back around, forget what lies behind, and press on. In verse 15, he's going to address this. He's going to say in 15, let those of us who think we are mature think this way. If in anything you think otherwise, God is going to reveal that to you also. Paul is playing on these words, mature and perfect. It's actually the same word he's using for both. And he's saying, if we're really mature, we're going to realize we're not yet perfectly mature. And so this morning, my question to you is, are you running? Are you forgetting what lies behind and pressing on towards a goal? Pressing on for the prize of the upward call of God. Are you running? If you're not, God is inviting you this morning to rejoin the race, to look forward and not back, and to keep running. Continuing in verse 14, Paul doesn't just say to look back. He says that he presses on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul presses on towards the goal because he values what he's going to find there. He values the prize that's at the end of his race. The thing that's most precious to Paul, this one thing he does, is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so maybe this morning you're saying, I'm running, Lake. I'm not looking back, I'm looking ahead, I'm looking forward, and I'm running. But maybe you're running the wrong race. Just as important for a runner as not looking back is making sure we're looking forward at the correct goal. We want to be looking forward to something that we value. And so this morning, if you are looking forward to something other than the upward call of Christ, if you're looking forward to power, to fame, to success, to wealth, to education, to your family, those things are ultimately not going to satisfy. 1 Corinthians 3:3, starting in verse 11, Paul addresses this there as well. He says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Paul's using a building metaphor here instead of a racing metaphor, but his point's the same. If we spend our time running our race, building on a foundation other than the upward call of God in Christ, all of that in the end is going to come to nothing. That we're going to get to the end of our race, we're going to end up building our building, and if we're not using that plumb line, if we're not doing it because Christ has made us his own, is going to come crashing down on us. Now, there's a really good question that you may be asking right now. I know that I asked it as I read this passage. What is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? That strikes me as something that if I was reading it in my quiet time, I would probably underline that and think, oh, that's really good. The upward call of God in Christ, that sounds awesome. But if I found myself sitting across, having a cup of coffee with somebody who was not a believer, and they said, Lake, I've been reading your Bible and I came across this really interesting phrase, the upward call of God in Christ. What in the world is that? I might feel a little bit on the spot. I might feel like, okay, now this is a little bit more difficult to unpack than when I was sitting by myself underlining it. But there's really two things here that Paul is trying to tell us. He's first talking about an upward call of God in Christ towards maturity. He's calling us up into maturity. If you're in either one of those groups, maybe you aren't running right now, maybe you're running a race other than that upward call, God is saying, I'm calling you up into something greater, not into something less. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus is just that. He's not telling us to stop running other races. He's not telling us to forget our failures and successes because he wants something less for us. He's not doing it because he doesn't want us to enjoy life or to enjoy the call that he has placed upon us. He's doing it because his call is a greater call. It's a higher call. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. C.S. Lewis and Paul are saying the upward call of God in Christ Jesus is a call into something more, not something less. It's a call to stop making mud pies and to come and have a holiday at the sea. That's the first meaning of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The second, our maturity as believers is never going to be perfect, never going to be complete until we receive the call of God, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus to come home. Whether that's us going to him or him coming to us, our maturity is not going to be perfect until we're with him face to face. Remember, he's playing off of these words, mature and perfect, that we can be mature, that we can strive towards maturity in the Christian life, but we're not going to attain perfection until we're with him face to face. And he keeps talking about that in verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God is going to reveal that to you also. If we realize that we're not perfectly mature this morning, if we realize that perfect maturity is something that's not going to be ours until we are with Christ, then we also realize that there's no room for complacency in our growth. We realize that we have a race that is yet to be run, that we have a race laid out ahead of us towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So this morning, because Christ has made you his own, God's calling you in one of three ways. First, he may be calling you in. He may be calling you in because you haven't been running, and he wants you to forget what lies behind, to look forward, and to come in to run the race. He may be calling you in. Second, he may be calling you out. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, Lake, I'm running a race, but it's not the right one. I'm running a race, and at the end, I think I'm going to find that I'm disappointed, that I've been playing with mud pies, and that God's calling me out. He's calling me to something greater. He may be calling you in. He may be calling you out. He may be calling you up. God, you may be here this morning and you're saying, Lake, I'm running the right race, but I am tired. I have been running the right race and I've been running it hard and the race is hard. And I feel like I'm just about out of steam. But God is calling you up. He's calling you up to remember that he has made you his own. And that because he has made you his own, we can press on to make this our own. I am running a race. That's our first truth. Second, Paul is going to look at us, and remember, we're all in this together. We're all in this race together. Each of us are in this race, and we're in it together, he's going to tell us our second truth. Our second truth is that we are running a race. First, I'm running a race. Second, we are running a race. Up until this point, Paul has been talking about the race that we're each individually running as believers. But here, starting in verse 16, he's going to shift. He's going to shift from I language to we, us language. Starting in verse 16. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who are walking according to the example you have in us. That phrase in verse 16, let us hold true, it can also be translated, let us walk in the same path. It has a connotation of a group of people walking shoulder to shoulder towards a goal. And so as we're running our races towards maturity in Christ, we're also standing shoulder to shoulder with other believers running this race. While we each have an individual race to run, our races are never meant to be run in isolation. And Paul is encouraging us in 17 to look around. In the first few verses, Paul told us that we need to look ahead. We don't need to look behind, we need to look ahead. And now he's telling us that we need to look around. 17 says that you need to join in imitating me, Paul, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that we have in you. There are two parts to looking in this equation. As Paul tells us to run the race in community, to run it with other believers, to keep our eyes and to imitate others who are running this race well, he tells us first to look around. And so this morning, as you're running your race towards maturity, I would ask you, who are you imitating? Of course, we're all called to imitate Christ, but who are you imitating as they imitate Christ? There is a plethora of resources out there to help you run your race well. There are podcasts, there are sermons, there are blogs and articles and books galore. You can take your pick. But one of the largest blessings that God gives us as believers is the local body. It's the church. When you become a member of Highland Park Baptist Church, you sit through Discover HPBC. You go through a 5-part series on the doctrines and the beliefs of our church. You meet with pastors, with elders. You meet other believers as you're going through the process. And when you become a believer here, we're saying this is somebody who you can look to and who should be looking to others. And so as you're running your race, who are you looking to? If you're here this morning and you're thinking, I don't know that I have anybody that I'm imitating, anybody that I'm looking to, I would challenge you, look around. Think about people that you know here at Highland Park Baptist Church, and then take a step of faith. Go and ask one of them, can I imitate you? Can we get coffee and talk about what it means to run a race towards maturity in Christ? I guarantee you that if you ask somebody that question, they're going to take you up on it. And if you're hearing this, it means you have to take them up on it when they ask you. Who are you imitating? If we're going to say we need to look around and we're going to ask who are you imitating, we also need to ask who is imitating us. The line of discipleship, the line of pouring into and investing in others is not meant to terminate on you. You're not the bottom link in the chain where it's like, all right, this has run as far as it can run. You're supposed to keep that going and invest in others. We heard this from Lindsay before she read. She was impacted deeply by a group of women who took time to pour into the middle school and high school youth here at Highland Park Baptist Church. And here she is years later. She's working at the school and pouring into the youth on Wednesday nights. You're not the last link in the chain. If we're looking around for somebody to imitate, we should also be asking, who is imitating us? Who can I be pouring into? Paul tells us in verse 18 and 19, we shouldn't just be looking around. We should also be looking out. Verse 18, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with their minds set on earthly things. Paul tells us that while we're looking around, we should also be looking out. The responsibility that comes with picking somebody to imitate and with others imitating us should put a healthy amount of fear in us. We should walk fearfully so that we can honor God as we do it. But the fear of letting somebody down or being let down by somebody is by no means an excuse to not run this race together. In fact, about two specific groups that are leading the Philippians astray, and neither one of them is a part of the church. Remember, the local body is God's plan A for discipleship. And so Paul here is warning against two groups. On one hand, you've got the Judaizers. You've got those who have been seduced to the side of legalism. They are running their race, but they're building upon a foundation other than Christ. They're saying it's not Christ alone that saves us, it's Christ and the Old Testament law. Paul's saying they've forgotten their plumb line. They've forgotten that Christ has made them his own. And so they are building hedges around the law. They're building out things for their salvation that were never meant to be there for their salvation. And so their God is their belly because they're so consumed with what they're doing to earn their salvation that they've forgotten it's Christ who has set them free. On the other side, you have the Gnostics. And the Gnostics would tell believers that they've been saved, and so nothing else really matters. You can run the race however you want to run the race. You can run it after your own passions. You can run whatever race you choose to run because in the end, it's not going to matter because we've been saved. Paul is centering the Philippians back on the fact that Christ has made them his own, and so we can run the race. A race that starts with our salvation and builds up into works, that builds up into maturity in Christ. Paul has given us two big truths this morning. He's told us that we're running a race, that I am running a race, and that we're running a race together. And he's going to give us one more big truth. He's going to tell us, he's going to remind us, we're running a race that we can't lose. In verse 20, right after warning the Philippians to look out, Paul says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Paul's told us we need to look around, we need to look ahead, we need to look out, and now he's saying we need to look up. That we're running our race, and it's a race that's already been won for us. That we need to remember our citizenship and anxiously await a Savior who's coming to transform our bodies. If we flip back one chapter to Philippians chapter 2, Paul is talking about what it means to have the mind of Christ. As believers, that's something we should be interested in, right? Anytime somebody in Scripture starts saying, hey, here's what Christ's mind was like, that should be like alarm bells. Okay, this is something I need to tune into. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, says this, "Who," talking about Christ, "though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." We're running a race we can't lose because the first time our Savior came, he took on our form. He took on our lowly bodies, and he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. But the second time he comes, when he comes back, the thing that we are anxiously awaiting as citizens of heaven is not for him to come and take on our lowly bodies again. This time he's not coming to take on our lowly bodies. He's coming to take our lowly bodies and to make them glorious like his. He's coming to complete the race that we have been running. He's coming to make us his own and to transform us into his image, to complete our perfect maturation in him. And so this morning, I would ask you, are you running a race that you can't lose? Are you running a race that you can't lose? Are you running a race looking up with your eyes set on a Savior who's coming back, not to humble himself again, but to be glorified and to glorify you with him? Are you running a race that you can't lose? Are you running a race, period? Are you running with Christ, running towards Christ, running towards maturation in him? Are you running this morning? Are you forgetting what lies behind? Are you straining forward to what lies ahead? Are you running? If not, Christ is inviting you this morning to turn back around, to forget what lies behind, and to run your race. Second, are you running the right race this morning? Are you running the race towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? Are you running the race for the prize that you value more than anything else? If you're here this morning and you're running a race towards something else, and you've realized it as we're sitting here, that you're playing with mud pies and you're being offered a holiday at the beach, Christ is offering you the chance to run a better race, to run a higher race, an upward calling. Are you running the right race? Are you running the race in community? If you're here this morning and you realize, like, I'm running the right race, but I feel like I'm running it alone. You could not be at a better place. Here at Highland Park, there are over 25 grow groups that meet here just on Sunday mornings. There are studies that happen on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the day, at night. There's Awana, Herd, and Crash that meet on Wednesday nights. Pastor Andy Riss just started a study through the book of Genesis. There's a parenting fellowship that's starting in March where we're going to talk about parenting, but then take time to plan together what it looks like to have family worship in our homes. I had a meeting this week with a couple who are training right now to lead a marriage ministry in the spring of 2023. There are so many opportunities. Highland Park offers so many opportunities to run your race in community. Are you going to do that? If you're not running your race in community, come and talk to me, talk to one of our other pastors, our other staff, because we would love to find a way for you to do that. Are you running your race in community? And finally, are you running a race you can't lose? Are you running a race in his power, the power that enables him to subject all things to himself? Are you running your race because Christ has made you his own? If you're not, look up. Remember that you have a Savior who's coming from heaven to take your lowly body and to transform it into his glorious body. And run in his power as you serve him this week.